The scripture tonight is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. The first five verses refer to Jesus. He was in the beginning. We are commemorating his birth in a few weeks. But he was from the very beginning, and the beginning was the Word. A couple notes here from my Bible. It says, Jesus is called the Word of God because the phrase occurs over 1,200 times in the Old Testament to refer to the message of God. Jesus is the expression and communication of the Word. He is both the incarnate and the inspired Word. And he was from the beginning. He and the Father are one. He helped to create. And that's what these verses will tell us. John 1, 1 to 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So let us kneel to prayer, all who are able to kneel.
We greet each one of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight's topic, title for the sermon, is called Light. Light. This was one of those weeks that I really struggled with what to preach about. I took up a couple topics and then laid them back down again. So I have two unfinished sermons at home. But then I was ask a question this week, and it got me thinking, and it made me study God's Word. I was asked the question, is it right for Christians to put up Christmas lights? Now, how would you answer that? I don't know if it was asked as a trap for me to dop into. I don't know if it was asked to create discord. I wasn't sure how to answer. And I gave the person the answer that no one likes to hear. Well, it all depends. Nobody likes to be told that. They were looking for a yes or a no. Not it all depends. So it made me search the scriptures this week. When we're put those kind of questions to us, that we don't know how to answer and we want to answer accurately, we search the scriptures. And that's what I did this week. I studied light. And I soon found out there's more in scripture to talk about light than what I'm going to speak about tonight. You know, scripture's full of the contrast between light and darkness. We find it throughout scripture. And I got to thinking, there's very few times in my life that I actually experience physical darkness. Yes, I heard my grandparents speak of a time when they sat at a table with one oil lamp that they read by, that they did their lessons by for school. But I never experienced that. The closest I ever came to experiencing darkness, maybe it was in the cellar, groping around searching for the chain to turn the light on. Or maybe it was in the woods at night when the flashlight went dead. But I never really experienced darkness physically. I grew up with lights, incandescent bulbs, fluorescent lights, and now LED lights that light everything up so very brightly. Light is good. Light's attractive, isn't it? It draws people to it. Physically speaking, light attracts. And for the most part, people are drawn towards light. I know Scripture speaks of those who are lovers of darkness, but I believe for the most part, people are drawn towards light. So what is it about light that is most attractive? I happen to think as a boy, where we lived in New Oxford, when we went to Hanover, we usually went down 94. But at times, my father would drive out of the way and go out to Abbottstown, into Hanover, and go over the hill, and from the hill there you could look down and see the lights of Hanover. What a beautiful sight I thought it was as a boy. But what's so attractive about light? I think a number of things. Light illumines, light shines, light guides us. We see it all around, don't we? Light shows the way. We see it in traffic. Traffic lights tell us when to go, when it's safe to go, and when to stay. Flashlights and headlamps and things show the way that we don't trip as we walk in darkness. Light is guidance. Light is safety. Physical light. And the world's drawn to it, isn't it? But spiritually speaking, it's exactly the same. Light is attractive, and light guides. Light guides us. And in this world of darkness and confusion and people not knowing which way to go, how they need light today. They're searching for a light. And it's very attractive. Oh, how we need light to guide us to safety today. People want it, they desire it, and they are drawn towards the light. The second attractive thing about light, I believe, is that it reveals truth. I was at the dentist's office this week, and they thought maybe I had a cavity in one of my back teeth, and they reached up and got that big light and shone it in my mouth, and they could see the truth. Whether I had a cavity or not. Light illumines and light shows the difference between false things and the truth. Physically, spiritually, light does the same thing and how the world needs it today. People are searching for the truth. People want to know the truth. People are full of confusion. But light is attractive. Light illumines the truth. The third thing that's so attractive about light is its radiance, its glow, its warmth, its love. When Martha's grandfather lived in Maine, we often visited in wintertime. And in the evenings, we'd walk up the street to visit her aunt. And on the way back, the lawns all covered with snow, and it was cold, and the stars were clear and bright. We'd see her grandfather sitting in the window by the wood stove, and the light would be pouring out on the lawn and on the snow. It was a beautiful sight. It was warm. It was love. And that's what light does. That's what light is physically, but light is also that spiritually. You see, light is so very attractive. It draws people. It draws those who need guidance. It draws those who need truth. It draws those who need love. Physical light is attractive, and so is spiritual light. You know, we think of it at Christmas time, don't we? into the world of darkness, into those who are groping with fear, confusion, a light comes. Into a world that needs light, Jesus Christ comes. At this time of the year, we commemorate God sending light to the world, sending Jesus Christ to be the light of the world. The scripture tells us that the people sat in darkness, but they saw a great light. To them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, a light has sprung up. A light in the darkness to draw people to him. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light to a needy and dark world, bringing light to guide us, bringing light to give us truth, and bringing the light of life. Turn, if you would, to John 8, chapter 12. John 8, verse 12, I mean. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Think of the great beauty, the great attractiveness of having Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He promises to all that follow him, he promises to show them truth, to give them guidance, and to give them light and love and salvation and life. It's what the world needs most today. Light. Light. Turn back to John 1 that Brother Donald read to us. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here perhaps is the greatest verse on the divinity of Jesus Christ, of the idea of the Trinity. Jesus Christ, the Word, was self-existent. He was in existence in the beginning. And Jesus Christ was with God. With God means separate from God, but yet with him. And the Word was God, separate but one. He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Unity, oneness. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. Creator of the world. I want you to think about that as we go along. We'll talk about it maybe here in verse 4. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is described as light, and he's described as life. Light and life go together. You see, as creator here, we see him not only as the creator, but the sustainer. And that's what it means by life. He not only created life, but Jesus Christ sustains life. He's the one that keeps it all going. He's light, and in him was life. Created life, sustaining life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. That phrase, "in the darkness comprehended it not," can maybe best be understood as the light cannot be overcome. Cannot be overcome. Jesus Christ is a light so great that he cannot be overcome. And the light cannot be overcome. Nothing can overcome Jesus Christ, the light. Yes, there are times when his light is veiled, shadowed from us for some reason, whether it be sin in our life. But you see, it's only an eclipse of the light. It can never really be overcome. Jesus Christ is the light that shineth in darkness and cannot be overcome. The light of Jesus Christ was never defeated. It never got less. It always shines brightly. Then it goes on to discuss, and I will skip the verses that discuss John the Baptist. He comes to prepare a way for the light. He was not the light, but he came to prepare a way for the light. And in verse 9, it says that Jesus the Christ was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That phrase, the true light, that sort of intrigued me. I believe it means, as compared here to John the Baptist, Jesus Christ was a true light, John wasn't. But it also, I think, means that there may be a false light. A false light. You know, it amazes me that in all the beauty and the light of Jesus Christ, there are people that reject it. All the benefits of light. You can know the right way. You can know the truth. You can have light. But still, there are those that reject it. Turn back, if you would, to John 12. John 12, verses 35 and 36. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. While the time is here, believe in Jesus Christ. Put your faith, put your trust in the light, that you may be children of the light. Turn back to John 3, verse 19. John 3, verse 19. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You see, that's why men are not attracted to the light, because the light gives truth. And men with evil deeds would rather remain in their evil deeds than be made aware of the truth of how they're living. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We often wonder, don't we, why people aren't attracted to the light of Jesus Christ. Because they don't want to be made aware. As the light shines, they don't want to be made aware of their evil deeds. Or as they are made aware of it, they don't want to change. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We see that in the life of Jesus, as he shines his light, the truth, that many reject it. It amazes me, if you recall at the beginning of his ministry, the people of his hometown rejected him. You remember, they drug him out of the synagogue after he proclaimed himself to be Messiah. They drug him out of the synagogue and wanted to kill him. people of his hometown rejected the light. So he went into Capernaum, and there he preached and was successful. People accepted the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Into a world full of darkness, he came to shine the light. He came to give guidance. He came to proclaim truth. And he came bringing warmth and love and life and salvation. As I was thinking about the attractiveness of the true light, Jesus Christ, and then that verse we read about Jesus being the true light, is there such a thing as false light? Is there a light that you can be drawn to that is not the true light? I believe it is. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't know that my voice would hold to read the whole chapter. We'll just go to verse 14. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You can go home and read the chapter on your own. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That got me thinking about the false lights. Satan was able to transform himself, or is able to transform himself, into an angel of light. I got to thinking about Las Vegas. I've never been there, but I've seen pictures of it. And all the bright lights, the neon lights, the flashing signs, all meant to draw people, all meant to draw someone, to be attractive and draw them to the light, a false light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there in that chapter we were looking at, in verse 3, gives us a little clue about the false light of Satan. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Here we see that the serpent, Satan, was able to deceive Eve through his cunningness. I believe through being an angel of light. What the serpent looked like in the garden that day, I don't know. But it must have been a beautiful thing. It must have been light. It must have been radiant. Satan must have been maybe colorful. I don't know. But it was something to draw Eve to a light. And that light seemed so good to Eve at the time, but it only brought death. You see, there's a false light that at times is just as attractive as a true light. It's meant to draw us. But in the end, instead of being the way of guidance, the way of truth, the way of life, that false light only brings death, destruction, darkness. I think today, rather than choosing darkness, people choose a false light.
to follow a false light. And in doing that, they turned their way back on the way of the truth, on the way of life itself. And they choose a light that will eventually lead them to darkness. Which light are you following tonight? Which light looks attractive to you? Is it the one that leads to life? Or the one that leads to death? So with what you know about light, what we talked about tonight, how would you answer the question? Should Christians have Christmas lights? There's one more thing I want to tell you about. You know, in that portion of John 8 that we read, where Jesus proclaims himself to be the light of the world. It was during the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. If you remember, the Feast of the Tabernacles was about the 40 years the Jews wandered in the wilderness. And during that time, they were led by a light. They were led by a lighted cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And to commemorate the light, in the courts of the women in the temple, they set up great candelabras of light. And they'd walk around with torches of light. And you can read historical accounts how it lit the gold up in the temple and how it radiated the light out into the streets. And it was all to point people towards a coming Messiah. They read verses in Isaiah that talked about the coming Messiah and the light. They had a light that pointed people towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So what about Christmas lights? Should Christians have them? I didn't have all this in my mind when the person asked me the question. I'd like to answer it now. My answer today, if that person would ask me, is are your Christmas lights pointing people towards the true light? Which they can do. Do you know in your mind, as you hang your Christmas lights, if a neighbor would comment about how pretty they are, can you tell your neighbor why? Can you tell your neighbor that this is pointing to Jesus Christ, the light of the world? Can you tell your neighbor that you're waiting for your Messiah to come again? Do your Christmas lights point others to Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah? Does your light proclaim Jesus Christ to be the light of the world? Does your light symbolize the way, the truth, and the life? Does your light remind others that Jesus is coming again soon? When you drive around and look at Christmas lights, and I enjoy that, let these things go through your mind as you gaze upon the light, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I would also challenge you that it is a potential for those putting out Christmas lights to be a false light. Do the lights that we put out uphold the things of Jesus Christ? Or do they compete with him at Christmas time? Do their lights have something to do with Santa Claus? Do your lights have something to do with Frosty the Snowman? Do your lights have something to do with the commercialization of Christmas? Do your lights detract from Jesus Christ and lead people towards a false light?
In the end, we have to answer in our own hearts. What are the ramifications or the results of us having Christmas lights? Can they bring glory to God? I think they can. But they also have the potential to lead people away from the true light, Jesus Christ. If I had my opportunity to answer the person that asked me, that's what I would tell them today. Are Christmas lights, should Christians have Christmas lights? It all depends. Do they glorify God? Do they uphold that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? God bless you.
Those that are able, let's stand for a closing prayer.